A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my closet, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's so frustrated with his team twist that he's looking... He was looking even worse than Dave Vaughn at the end of that competition. Jordan Parhar. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Rob Has a Podcast. My name is Jordan Parhar. Back again for my second night of filling in for Rob Cesternino. Rob is away at the Podcast Movement Conference in Chicago. He's also there for RapCon, which is happening this weekend. So, unfortunately, he could not do the podcast tonight. So, I will be filling in, hosting for the second night in a row. Last night, I had a great time with Alex Kidd. Well, tonight, I've got a new set of panelists to join me. First, he's a man who I think dropped approximately 32 expletives before the show started in regards to the results of this HOH competition. It's Brent Wolgamott, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
I'm so not used to being introduced first. I'm like, it's always like, you know, Ian Terry, the winner of Big Brother. Oh, and also we have Brent on the side here. Fine. Hello, everybody. But I swear I must be living in an alternate universe because I know I did a podcast about Ian Terry being in the Big Brother house this year. So I don't even know how this is possible.
Right? Crazy. Yeah, right? And of course, we're also joined on this Thursday night by the regular panelist on Thursdays for the past few seasons, making his first appearance on RHAP, I believe, in 2016. It's the great Ian Terry, ladies and gentlemen. Ian, welcome back to RHAP.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here, and I just want to get into discussing this show.
Yeah, it's Fun week to talk about, fun episode to recap. Not so thrilled about the results of that HOH competition because of the team twist, but we can get into that in a little bit. Let's just set things up for you guys. If you're watching us live, we're here on robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get your questions in later on in the show, there's two ways you can get those into us. The first way is you can leave a comment on the YouTube video below. That's this video that you're watching right now. Or you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. You can use the hashtag RHAP. I almost said happy hour. I'm so used to doing my own show. Hashtag RHAP if you want to tweet me and get those questions in, and we will get into those throughout the show. Lots of points of discussion tonight. Tons of stuff we can get into. So please get those questions in for Ian and for Brent. And hey, maybe you got something for me too. And we will get into those as we go through recapping this episode. Okay, guys, let's just jump right into it. Okay, Bridget has won head of household, which means that Frank and everybody on category four is safe.
For the week.
Totally safe there. I mean, this is, I said on Twitter that this is a huge swing, but it's actually like an anti-swing, if you will, because I think the way that I would think about it was there was a very high chance that there would be a huge swing, and everyone anticipated that, and then that doesn't happen. So it's sort of, I have very mixed emotions about this, and actually, I want Frank to do well, but I'm oddly disappointed by like this lack of excitement that we might see coming up here.
You know, JP, this is like when I was 13 years old and I was in my bedroom having fun, and then my mom walks in right at the most inopportune moment. That's what I feel like right now. This is like we were going to have like some great, great fun, and then freaking Bridget wins HOH. And not only that, but because of the stupid team twist, Frank is now safe for the week.
This is essentially Frank's HOH, 100%.
And the hilarious part is that the feeds are back on and the house guests are already joking to Frank in a not-so-joking way. This is your HOH this week. And he's agreeing with it.
Yeah. Well, great move there.
Yeah. Man, so Brent, was that the same kind of fun that Chef Joe was having in BB14 when Brittany walked in on him?
I actually forgot about that. Thank you for bringing that back. I'm sure Ian loves to relive that memory too.
Ian, were you in the room for that?
Next question. I wasn't, no.
Okay.
I don't think she walked in. I think he just was like brazen enough to just go for it. I don't remember.
Next question.
Yeah,
okay. Okay. Well, let's try to figure this out then. I mean, so you guys are bringing up a very valid point. I mean, yeah, this is basically Frank's HOH. The problem is, my perspective, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show, guys. I mean, I thought, you think, okay, Bronte is maybe the target this week, maybe Paul or something like that. But Bridget is a part of the Spy Girls. So does that mean that this is the time, Brent, where Bridget's going to take a shot at Tiffany? Is Frank going to get his wish?
Sounds like it. He's telling Davon, all the feeds are back on already. Just so I
we're jumping right into the feeds.
I know.
Yeah,
let's not jump into feeds.
I
blew it, so I'm just gonna finish that thought and then I'll shut up. But you guys can figure this out. I mean, this isn't rocket science. Come on, no. Frank's gonna try. He's going to try. I don't know if he can actually do it. He's gonna try and get Bridget to nominate Tiffany. So there you go. I blew it already. But you guys knew that going into this week, so it's not a big deal. Go ahead. I'll shut up now. I forgot. I do the feeds show with you on Monday, JP, and I'm not in the feeds right now, and I'm a feed guy, so that's why I blew it.
That's okay. I didn't set that up. So I mean, it's okay, Brent. Minor. The most minute of spoilers. So apologies to those of you who do not want spoilers, but I think you could probably take that away from the episode when you saw Frank's reaction to Bridget winning and everybody else's reaction, like Dave Bonds, when she was just looking like. I think you can kind of tell that that's what's going down there. So apologies for that. We are going to talk about just what happened, what we saw. We're not going to talk about feeds yet. We'll get into those later on in the show. But I don't know how crazy it is that you're going to get spoiled with that kind of stuff. So Ian, let's talk about then what Bridget needs to do here. I mean, is there anything – like if you're Bridget, what's best for your game right now?
Well, I actually have Bridget right here, and I'll get this.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Ian has Bridget?
I'm going to pretend to be Frank here, and this is Bridget. And I'm just going to do whatever Frank wants me to do, and that's it, okay? So that's going to be what's going to happen this week.
Okay, so for those of you listening in the audio archives, Ian just brought out, was that a stuffed dragon, Ian?
It was a puppet.
Yeah, it's a puppet.
It's a puppet.
So Ian has a puppet, so if you want to check that out on YouTube to see, go to robinsawebsite.com/YouTube. Oh, man, this is awesome. Yeah, I mean, Brent, we're in agreement with that, right? Like, Frank's going to get his way. So what?
Seems like it.
If Frank wants to go after Tiffany, then what's the move here? What do you think we're going to see in terms of these two noms? Is he going to tell Bridget to take a shot right away? Is it going to be something else? How do you think this is going to go?
I think he will. I'm guessing now. I don't know anything from the feeds. I'm not watching them right now. So I'm guessing that Frank will try to use his friendship with Tiffany. It's a little bit father-daughter-ish. At least I think that's how she wants it, and that's how he likes it. So it seems like that he will try to use that relationship to say to her, look, you have to go after Tiffany now. If you don't, she's going to come after me, and that by consequence hurts you because I'm with you. So I think you should do that. So whether or not she'll do it, I don't know. It's so funny. I know we're joking about the fact that Bridget's HOH and she's probably going to be a puppet. Probably. Nevertheless, she has sloppily been playing the game. I'm interested to see what she does when she's given power. Like, the one person she'd probably like to nominate, who is Michelle, can't nominate. Michelle's also on her team.
Right.
Michelle, I remember Michelle earlier this week talking about the fact that she was like, in order to get Bridget nominated, who she just hates Bridget for no apparent reason. I know why she hates her, but it's really not a reason. She was going to try to throw the HOH to give it to somebody else so they could get Bridget out. But now they're both safe. So Frank and Bridget and Michelle and Polly, they're all safe. They can't even be nominated by the roadkill winner. And one of the other, I guess 9 people are going to go home.
Well, don't you actually think, and I don't know, maybe you've discussed this in some other podcast on the line, but I think that by Michelle constantly vocalizing that Bridget is her target basically every 15 minutes or so, what she's doing is she's telling everyone she's going to go after Bridget, and that's actually a really smart strategy by making it known, because here we have Bridget, who has basically all the power, and now Michelle's safe. So it means that if you target someone that really can't get you out unless they use social strings to get you there, which she knows Bridget does not have, Michelle really puts herself in a great position, because it's an easy answer to, hey, who do you want out?
Right. We did talk about this earlier in the week. We don't know if she's doing it on purpose, but by letting everybody else know where she stands, they know, okay, I'm not a number one or number two on your list. That can't be said for some other people in the house. Like, you don't know what the hell would have happened with a Paul HOH, and we were so close.
That seems so insane.
Natalie,
yeah,
or a Paul HOH. By the way, when they got down to the final four people there, I thought that Natalie had won HOH. I thought, like, I didn't really understand the rules of the competition. Like, I thought, since there one was left from each team, that whoever wins this round is going to be HOH. But, of course, that didn't happen. So, yeah. Yeah,
that was it was a little confusing. But, yeah, Natalie was really on a roll if you were watching. She kept going for the left side and kept getting the 21. Yeah, she was doing really well. So props to Natalie. I thought we were going to see her win as well, Brent. And I was, you know, I was bummed for Paul not winning, because it sucks that, yeah, now Frank is safe and we're not going to see all this drama unfold this week. But in terms of Paul's long-term game, I feel like him not winning here, I think, is great, because now he can just chill. I think with how he did last week, I really don't think Frank's going to want to get Bridget to go after him.
Yeah.
But what do you think, though, Brent? Do you think maybe there's nobody else? Is Paul the only guy?
That's the problem. Yeah, that's the problem. Like, if you're looking to get out a strong player, do you really want to waste it on somebody? You know, I'm sure I don't think it's a waste, but they might think it's a waste. Somebody like Bronte or somebody like Natalie. In fact, I don't think Natalie's going to go anywhere. Bridget, you know, it might be a good compromise nominee. Like, maybe Bridget doesn't want to go after Tiffany. But maybe she says, look, you know, I'll meet you halfway. I'll go after somebody on the other side of the house. That's Paul. Let's go after him. You know, which that would push the numbers even more in the direction of the girls. Even if Bridget is halfway playing for herself here, she probably should go after somebody like Paul. Remove another strong player, keep it 8 girls, and move forward. You know, I mean, going after Tiffany doesn't do her anything, because Tiffany's not coming for Bridget.
I think that gives Bridget, like, way too much credit, though.
Okay,
I don't think she's gonna put that one together.
Okay, up until this week, really, Frank has been the only person putting in a little bit of work with Bridget, although I think Tiffany has as well. I'm interested to see where her true loyalties lie. Will she really go after Tiffany if Frank wants her to, or will she not?
Ian, what do you think, you know, we saw earlier in the season, the first roadkill, we had Frank win that. He put up Bridget. Bridget was clearly very upset. Frank went around and he told pretty much everyone that, hey, guys, I won the roadkill, and he's doing his little jig or whatever.
Big mistake. Yep.
Big mistake, because now all these other people know, hey, Frank won the roadkill, and they could easily run to Bridget and say, hey, Bridget, just so you know, Frank actually put you up the first week we were in here with that roadkill. Do you think, Ian, that could sway Bridget into potentially turning on Frank and kind of doing her own thing this week?
See, that's the thing, is you have that, but the good thing, well, like a bad thing, I guess, in certain situations, but the idea is that information, that's really something useful. Like, that's one that you want to use to try to get Frank out. If you use it here, you're just trying to change one, you know, nomination or something like that, and I don't think that it's an ideal use of that piece. You want to save that one. Keep that one in the vault for later.
I agree with you in theory. However, I think it's going to be very hard for an entire week to go by with Bridget as HOH and for no one to go to her and say, oh, by the way, do you know what happened with the first week when there was a roadkill winner and Frank was the winner? Because she never knew Frank was the winner, and she didn't know that he was the one who nominated her. So I think it's going to be very hard, you know, especially if the heat's on you this week, to sort of shift it to somebody else. Because once that information is out there, it's totally useless.
Right.
All right, we got a question here from V Saints on YouTube. V Saints says, I think Bridget has said she would target men, so Corey/Paul. We kind of talked about that. I mean, Frank, I think, will probably try to veer her away, but I guess if things went bad, you know, maybe we could see that. Maybe, Brent, is there any chance? What percent chance do we see that this week?
I think very low. I really do think that Frank's going to control her. I think there's no way that Corey's going to be nominated. Maybe as a seat holder, like Tiffany was this week, although she really wasn't a seat holder. Bronte was more of the seat holder. You know, it's just it's a slim possibility, but never as a true target, I don't think.
All right, this question is for Ian. It comes from Blake Hesser. Blake says, Ian, as a member of an alliance in which you were the fifth wheel of two other obvious pairs, do you think Davon just received a great situation and threw it away? Seemed to work for Steve and Andy, too. Yeah, I'm really interested in your take on this.
Yeah, so I always think that, unlike maybe in Survivor, being the fifth wheel in Big Brother is really just a great position because usually if it gets down to that point, then it means that you have two pairs fighting for you in the middle. So I think being the fifth wheel is actually a really good thing because you're guaranteed or possibly in the right spot to be in the power no matter what happens.
I really don't know. I don't know what happened here. I'm just gonna like give you the true tea. Like, was she PMSing here? Like, what was going on? Because seriously, this was a great opportunity that was presented to her, totally thrown in her lap. I mean, I would love to be the Kathy Vabrick O'Brien, Survivor Marquesas, and have to choose between two pairs when you know you're going to be safe. People are, and if the other side of the house gets power, like in Big Brother, they're gonna go after a pair. They're never gonna go after you. So why in the hell wouldn't you want to take this position? I don't understand. And by the way, one of those showmances is Pauly and Zakiya, which I don't even call it a showmance at this
point. It's like they just flirt strangely.
Yeah, exactly. With
each other.
Zakiya seems way more in Davon's pocket. So why in the hell would you not take this opportunity? Why go tell James? It was just such an emotional reaction to a great opportunity being presented. It was like, girl, what are you doing? You're crazy.
Yeah, for me, it just blew my mind because it's week two, Davon. Like, if someone is offering you an alliance, just take it and roll with the punches and figure it out later. There's plenty of game left, and that's what I really don't get. And I had some people say to me on Twitter that Alex and I were too harsh on Davon yesterday, but I really don't think we're being harsh on Davon. I think we're just being realistic about the situation. I love Mom and Day to death.
Yeah.
Stuff like this cannot happen if she expects to go far into this game because, like, it's just so frustrating to watch because I want her to do well. I really do, but this is just not going to cut it here. Brent, what was James's reaction to this? Did he take this information and do anything? Was he receptive to this? Does he want to work with Davon based on what was happening on the feeds the past few days?
Well, I mean, he wants to work with Davon in so much as he's not going to straight up tell Davon to her face, like, hey, I'm not coming for you. So, I mean, you know, he didn't do a whole lot with this information other than, as Alex and you talked about yesterday, was it Alex? Yeah, it was Alex.
Yeah, yep.
I'm sorry, on the feed, I think it said Taryn. Alex and you talked about yesterday that James has tried to drop hints to Frank here and there by telling him, you know, hey, I think the Apex is going to break up a little bit. It's weird. I think, like, we're targeting each other a little bit. And Frank seems very dismissive of that. So he tried to do what Paul did this week with Victor, and it, again, didn't really work. Shocker. So Frank thinks he's running the show, and at least for this week he is, it looks like.
Ian, I've got another question for you. This one's from Haiku Fishback. Haiku Fishback says, Ian, do you think Frank is playing better, worse, or exactly the same as BB14? Yeah, this is an interesting one. I mean, you played with Frank. I feel like you know Frank's game better than pretty much anybody on the planet because you lived with him for so long, right?
Yeah, 62 days.
Right? So what do you think about this? I mean, looked like Frank was doing really well, but, you know, based on what has been going down in the feeds the past few days, and we didn't really get too much of a, you know, we didn't see that too much in the episode tonight, so...
Right, we saw none of it.
Yeah, we didn't see that at all. So if you are just a show watcher and you want to hear about Frank's blunders this week, go back to last night's podcast with Alex and I and listen to the spoiler section. But, yeah, Ian, what do you think? Where's Frank at for you, just based on what you've seen so far?
Exactly the same, but with just better dice. 100%. I mean, that's just how I would put it. I mean, his first week was very strong. I was very impressed. And I think that that's something like, it's odd to me because Frank seems like the type of guy that would have like the social ability to do well in a game like Big Brother, just on its surface. But for some reason, he just seems to have like this something in him where it's just like, gotta compete, like constantly, right? And it's just... It's the same exact thing as last time, except he's just luckier. That's all.
I do have a question. I have two questions for Ian. Because I wasn't a feeds watcher during Big Brother 14. Mm-hmm. Number one, did Frank pass this much gas during Big Brother 14?
Yes.
Okay, right. All right, cool. That's something to know, because for those of you who haven't been
and
watching.
Back then, he also only would wear deodorant on Thursdays.
What?
Yeah, I remember that part. I do remember that part. Yeah.
So I don't remember that.
These days, I hope he is.
He said something like it caused cancer or something like that, so he didn't wear mm-hmm. only on Thursdays would he wear it.
Yeah, when he had, might have to go see Julie Chen. Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. And my other question was Frank, and I'm trying to look for another word, but I really can't come up with one. Was he this chauvinistic during Big Brother 14?
So I don't know that I would say that he's. I mean, you could. There have been certain comments that one could argue whether or not he's chauvinistic or not.
Did he Okay, I'm not calling him chauvinistic.
Yeah, I mean,
comments I think could be construed that way.
Some of the comments could be construed. I don't think that he is. But that being said, I do think that Frank is the type of guy where I think having attractive women do what he wants has always been something that comes like very easily to him. So maybe in the context of the Big Brother game, whereas, you know, that might not be their number one intention, it's maybe comes off as a little bit surprising to him when he doesn't get what he wants. That's what I think is going on in this spot. I don't think it's chauvinistic. I think that it's used to, he's just used to, you know, having women fall all over him.
I guess. It's really weird because not only does he want that to happen, but, like, I know some of the things that are annoying some of the girls, like, he expects them to make him dinner. And when they don't do it at his demand, he's like, well, you know, you can be voted out of the house next week. You know?
Yeah, I heard about the dishwashing comment. But, like, I remember in my season, one of the things that the girls, they didn't quite like was he had this thing called the tickle monster, where he would just start tickling, you know, random girls in the house. And I remember, like, Danielle Murphy really, really did not like tickle monster at all.
Right, right. Okay, well, he must have moved on to doing other annoying things.
Wasn't he also, like, slapping women's behinds and things like that?
Yeah, he does things like that.
There's no graphic evidence that that actually occurred, right? That was just Davon saying it. We got, like, has there been a timestamp on feed where he does indeed slap a woman's ass? Like, is he the Josh Feinberg of the 2010s?
What a reference. I don't know. I haven't seen it per se, but I would love, I'm sure someone will tweet it to us if it's happened. I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? I was going to say something about Frank, but I was going to bitch more about him, but I can't. Oh, I know. Yeah, he said he kicks his women to the curb if they gain 15 pounds. Or wait, you were just – I can see you rolling your eyes, so you don't like me bringing this up. Like,
No, it's – okay. I mean, the thing is, he says that, and he should – that should be kept to himself if it's true. Do I know that that's even a true thing? I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But at the same time, it's just like I find that that was uncouth. He should have kept that to himself, 100%.
Okay. To be clear, I'm not trying to demonize
Nothing
Frank. I'm honestly just evaluating his gameplay and his social abilities in the house. And from what I have seen, when Nicole, who is a very likable get-along girl, says, you know, I can't even function. I feel like I'm walking on eggshells around him. I want to get him out just so I can go back to being myself. There's something to be said for how he's acting like king of the house. It's just, like, how can you not see that?
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse, too, because he's going to have co-HOH-itis, I guess.
Right? Yeah, that's the thing with this week is I feel like, you know, as much as it is – now that the more that I think about it, you know, it is disappointing that, yeah, Frank can't potentially go up this week and we're not going to get that drama. But I also think that, you know, the – delusions of grandeur that Frank has about how he's controlling the entire house, they're only going to grow with this week. And when the time comes where someone does go after Frank, I feel like it's going to be even that much more explosive, if you will, just because all of that pent-up energy of wanting to get him out is just going to fester over from this week into the next. So I am excited to see how things go from there.
We are getting a pretty nice if this is the case, we are getting a nice setup for a Victor versus Frank battle back.
That would be very exciting, and I'm looking forward to that.
That would actually be one that would be like, that could go either way at this point. That really could.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the roadkill where you know, Victor's good at math, apparently, or at least math.
Yeah,
I know, math that at least is you know, counting up to $18 worth of change. But yeah, interesting to see if that's what happens. Even, you know, Jose as well is a big guy. If maybe another guy goes out here, Glenn is gonna have some trouble.
Yeah, I feel bad. It's really unfortunate for Glenn that he's not getting, like, you know, your standard, like, Bridget, Natalie, you know.
Yeah, where's here. The model? Yeah, the model, right? Is Victor. Yeah.
Right. So that's the rough break, I guess. But you know, I think that we are getting a really interesting setup for that. And that's the one thing that I would stress about this HOH that's not, it's not as bad as we're making it out to be, because even if Frank went this week, he holds so high of a chance of coming back later anyway. So I'm not really that fussed about it. And I think that if we get, you know, maybe next week where he goes out, it actually has the potential to be even more interesting.
Right. I agree with you. As much as I don't like it, I never really considered that Frank would go this coming week. I felt like he might find out or somebody might try to take a shot at him, but I never thought it would really happen. I've always pictured Frank going out, like, or somebody trying to target Frank, like, right after the buyback happens. Like, right after, there's a really weird week there where the buyback happens and they go back to 12 people. And then someone is evicted. And that person, whoever that person is not going to make jury.
Probably doesn't get a buyback, right?
Well, they may keep the battle back competition going. I don't know. But whoever goes out in 12th place is not going to be a part of the jury, obviously not going to be part of the final two, and would go out without a battle back opportunity, assuming they don't continue it forward.
Yeah, that's a bummer. And for me, I just to play devil's advocate here, I kind of wish Frank would go this week, because seeing him compete in the battle back and win and come back and have that fire just to win all these competitions and go full out BB14 Frank on everyone, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see Frank get backdoored, because then we're robbed of that excellent television. If Frank does go, however, if he were to go this week, or hopefully he goes next week, then at least we're going to get that, you know, it's going to be amazing, because Frank is going to be fired up. He's going to come back and he's going to play very inspired. And I think it's going to be a thing of beauty to witness. So I'm really, really hoping that Tiffany or Davon or one of these other people that's willing to take the shot at Frank can pull it out next week. Because
the good news is
so good.
These house guests are so bad that even with a pretty boring week in front of them, I do feel like they'll play themselves out of the game. Like somebody will do something. We said last week when Polly was HOH, I remember saying, oh, it's probably going to be a pretty boring week, you know, even though Polly's a fun guy, but he's just going to, you know, melt into the background, which he did. He got somebody that was basically a 10-0 vote, 9-1, and, you know, faded back into the background. No one's really talking about Polly. So, but still, all this insanity still happened in the house this week. So let's see what happens this week. You know, I don't think these people can control themselves. As you guys talked about on last night's show, these people who are coming back, almost all of them are still making the same mistakes that got them evicted the first time. And they just, a leopard doesn't change its spots.
You know, the other thing I want to bring up before we move on to a different topic is that, obviously, in Big Brother, things change on a dime, right? So oftentimes, like, I would say, like, you know, person wins immunity and everyone wants them out, and then they just fade right in the background. But I think Frank has the issue now that his ego is supposedly going to get larger, right? The problems that are being caused are not going to go away, and there's not going to be anything to, like, scare him into changing. Like, I think Big Brother 14, week one, like, I knew I was a huge target, and I said, okay, I need to lay back now that I have this. But now Frank doesn't have that scare. It's not going to happen. So he's very likely to have his name in the mix the next time he's eligible.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think that the one thing they do that could knock some sense into Frank is if he tries to get Tiffany on the block this week and is successful, I can see where Davon and some other people might say, you know what, we got to keep the cat to get the rat. So let's keep Davon let's keep Tiffany where Frank might be campaigning to get Tiffany out, and, you know, basically decrees it from on Mount High. And the rest of the house says, no, King, we're not going to do that. We're going to instead evict somebody else and keep Tiffany this week so she can go after you. So that might be something to effectively scare him into knowing, hey, I don't really control as much of this house as I think I do.
I think that's the best case scenario for this week. I think that would be awesome TV. I think that would be awesome because then we get that Blindside still. And then, yes, he wakes up and we kind of get the inner beast within Frank. You know, he wakes up. I think that would be really, really fun to watch. Speaking of Devon, Brent, quickly, I just want to talk about that Alliance of Five. We briefly touched upon it. So Devon, you know, she freaked out about it. What exactly did she do after that? Did she tell Zakiya and Polly and Corey and Nicole, like, hey, I don't really want to be a part of your alliance? Or did she kind of just play it cool? And does this group of five think that it's actually a legit thing now?
You were asking me, right? Sorry, yes, I was reading my tweets. She made it known to them her concerns that she didn't want to be seen as the fifth wheel in this group. I still think that they are, you know, if they're not existing as an alliance, they're at least existing as a group, and that may be just as powerful if they all think that they're sort of working together. Again, I don't know if Devon has had some time to reflect on this and think, you know, I kind of just want to, like, I wish that there was a Big Brother producer in the diary room when asking a question to Devon, who actually posed an honest question to her, which was like, you know, you were presented with this five-person alliance between two pairs. Isn't it possible that that is a good position for you to be in? Let's consider that, you know, and maybe get her mind thinking, like, you know, because I know that they do pose different things to different house guests. Ian can talk more about that. But I think that's a fair way to, like, you know, maybe, girl, it's not that bad. It's actually really good. Like, think about this more.
Yeah, definitely. But clearly, based on what we've seen, either Devon was not asked that at all, or she just is not having any of it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into another question. This one is from BCarroll15. BCarroll says, why was Corey laughing so much after casting his vote? Was it really that funny that he said, I vote to evict Vic? Ian,
yeah, that was really strange. Yeah.
Right? Was it like, what is that why he was laughing? Was it that he's happy Victor's going? Like, what was it?
He thought he was hilarious.
Was it the stupid little dance thing he did? Like, he did that little twirl with Nicole. Was it that in between? You know, in between walking from the house to the DR. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think everyone missed the, you know, Victor pun. I mean, it just, that was very disappointing to me.
By the way, we have to talk about, Victor's speech. Like, was he a Hausfrau from Sound of Music or something? Like, what was that? Like, I'm trying to figure out what voice he was doing, but it was very funny. Like, he must have known he was going in order to make a speech like that.
Oh, yeah. He knew he was going. I thought that was really funny. I also don't know what it was. Ian, any idea?
No clue.
Yeah, so it was funny. It was good. We liked it, Victor. We just don't know what it is.
Oh,
so.
I have another question. I have another question for Ian. Yeah. This may predate you, though, but I'm hoping you still might know the answer to this.
Okay.
When somebody goes on there and gives out their Instagram or their Twitter in their goodbye message, why don't they find them? Like, take away a stipend from them for doing that stupid stuff. Like, seriously, do they not care, or they don't care?
I guess they just don't care.
They don't care. All right.
Yeah, I mean, they tell you not to. I mean,
no shout-outs, you know.
Yeah, but they say no shout-outs, but then even in Canada, like, we were told like five times, but then every week Bruno would say hi to his wife and kids, which is great because, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It's different with it when it's that. And
when
I love
it's in
Bruno,
the diary room and you're walking out, I have no problem with that. When you're making a speech on live television, taking up my time, I have a problem with.
Well, the other thing with that too, Brent.
You're gonna take away money.
Yeah, the thing with that too as well, I mean, the only other person I can think of that did that was Zach Rantz, and
right.
We know how Zach Rantz is perceived in the Big Brother community these days. But I don't even remember what Victor said. Like,
I don't either. I just remember how he delivered it.
Right? He was just like, yeah, follow me on Instagram. I think it was like Fit Vic or something. I don't even know.
Okay. I have it on tape. I'll go back and watch it.
I don't know. We'll have to go back and review that. But that's the thing. Is like, at least if it's like you're going to shout it out, let's remember what it is. But nobody even remembers it. So why is it even worth it for you to say that, Victor? Come on, man. Okay. Looking at the other questions here.
Before you get to the next question, I had so much – I was so impressed by Paul this week and how he played. Really don't get the one vote to keep Victor. Really don't. Why not make it 10-0?
Friendship! Friendship, Brent! French. He kept saying that in the HOH.
I know. He was hyped up for the HOH. I love Paul. I was praying for an HOH, for a Paul HOH. But for real, I don't understand the point of like voting to evict Bronte there. It just it drives a wedge between you and somebody else who's currently in the Big Brother house, and she's going to know it was him. So why do it?
Ian, yeah, what do you think about Paul's gameplay so far, and thoughts on the Hinkie vote by him?
You know, I like Paul's game. I've been very up and down on it. I know that preseason I had very high hopes for him. I spent like $6 or something on him in the Dom and Colin Action podcast. I quickly lived to regret that choice. And then this week, I was sitting there, I'm like, but I'm so satisfied with Frank, Michelle, and Natalie at 50 cents. Seems like a steal at this point, right?
Oh, so, yeah. Great pick.
I mean, gosh, that was really good. So I was just like, you know what? I'm really content with everything else. Then this week, I'm like, man, Paul at $6, it seems actually pretty reasonable now. But, man, Frank at $6.50, I'm really starting to sweat. So, I actually like Paul's game. I think he has what people have said, that Zach Rantz upside. And the longer he stays in, I mean, I think this is – he could easily fall into that spot where if you're that last person in that minority alliance that's getting picked off, if you are that Spencer Clausen position, that is a great position to have. Very good one. I mean,
yeah, I like Paul.
Nearly converted that to a win.
Yeah, I like Paul's position as well. I didn't love the vote, but I like the way he acts. I think that he's seen around the house as somebody who's fun, who people like to be around, who doesn't take anything too seriously and lets stuff roll off his back. And the other thing I was going to say, which I don't know, I can't remember if you guys brought it up last night, he's very good at the fine art of butt kissing. Like, he was so good with kissing Polly's butt. And you know, say just falling all over himself. And he got him to use the veto on him, and he did what he was supposed to do, and he kind of faded back into the background a little bit. I still don't know how this week's going to go. I hope Richard doesn't go after him, because I really like Paul, which is such a turnaround, because I was saying on this very podcast with Rob, when we were going over the people who were cast on this season, I was like, why is this guy here? Why do we need this guy? And then here he turns out to be a very good Big Brother player, so...
The other thing I want to say about Paul is I think I was really impressed this week with the chip draw and how that went. I think obviously Paul's chip getting drawn was like – that was a really, really unlucky draw. But he managed to play it off fairly well. And with that Hinkie vote, he actually has inadvertently put himself in like a pretty great spot if Victor is to come back into the game, because here you have Victor saying, hey, he's loyal to me. Hey, you know, he could be back in.
Yeah, definitely, right? I mean, especially, I mean, we don't know who's going home this week, but if it's a weaker competitor, I think Victor's got a really good shot.
Victor is really drawing live to come back. I mean, it really is going to be – the only thing that keeps Victor from coming back in my mind is, does Frank go next week?
Frank, or if the Messiah rises once again, Ian, and you know what?
Stop talking about the Messiah.
I'm thinking it's gonna happen. I'm a believer, man. I'm in. I the Messiah has done wonders for me in my life, and I really do think that he's gonna come back.
I need the Messiah to fall on his face with Glenn. That's what I need.
I Glenn to be would find that so satisfying if Glenn were to beat him.
That would be. The greatest thing ever if Glenn beats Jose. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That would be so amazing. It's not going to happen.
The first person officially like who has no chance to win. Like the first person totally eliminated.
Yep.
Yeah.
So good. Okay, this one, this question is coming in from Akul Shah. Akul says, overall, who is in the best spot in the house right now? So yeah, based on this win, based on what's happened, Ian, who do you think is in the best position in the house at this moment?
Actually, I really love Michelle's spot now. I think this is like the cherry on top for her. Her arch nemesis wins head of household, and she's totally safe. It couldn't get any better than that. Could not get any better.
Yeah, it's looking good for Michelle, right? I mean, Alex and I talked about it her position last night. Brent, what do you think about Michelle's position?
I don't know.
You don't think she's in the best position in the house?
No, I don't. I still think that the fact that she's let it be known that she's a super fan and acts sort of nerdy and just can't kind of help herself leads people to fear her around, like, the beginning of jury. Like, I feel like, you know, once it gets down to, like, 8, 7. They're going to look at her and go, we really don't want her competing in like Final 5, Final 4 vetoes and things like that. So let's get rid of her now. You know, you don't want that super fan at the end. I mean, like, what is it, 14, 15, and 17 super fans have taken, and you can count Derek, too. He's a fan of the show. So super fans have won the last, you know, 4 seasons of Big Brother. So really don't want those people at the end who really know how to play the game, because they'll take it from you. And I that's why I continue to think that Natalie is continued to be undervalued by people. She's not really looked at as somebody anybody wants to evict, obviously. James has his thing with her, whatever that is. I know Alex said it made him a little bit uncomfortable on our feed show on Monday, but it's still a good position for her to be in, game-wise. And she is a very likable person. And last thing, when you guys were joking yesterday about Bridget baking her way to the end, there's been another Big Brother winner who cooked her way to the end in Big Brother 4. And she tells people about that strategy. So don't underestimate the power of being a good in the kitchen.
Very, very good
talking
point,
about June's song, obviously. Literally cooked her way to the end of Big Brother 4.
So, Brent, then you think Natalie is in the best position in the house, or you just think she's undervalued at this point?
I would say that she's in a really good position. I continue to believe that the winner of this season will probably come from one of the 4 veterans, but I don't know how – once it gets down to, like, actually voting for somebody, I don't know if people will be able to put the key in the box of the person who got to come back and try again when this is your first try and you already lost. You know, I wonder, because that – that was an aspect of Big Brother 14, you know, and I'm curious to see what it's like in Big Brother 18 if people do hold it against the veterans and say, you know, you already had your shot. I'm going to give it to the person who did it on their first time, you know. So
yeah, there is that idea, because I think, like, for one of the veterans to win, they really – and this is where I will give Frank some credit, is he really does need to get there with some, like, Bridget or something like that. Like, he needs to make sure he's sitting there with someone that he, like, definitively did better than, and that they could make absolutely no case whatsoever against him.
The one thing I will say about on Frank's behalf is I agree with him from a perspective of he needs to get to the end with somebody like Bridget or another vet. That way it can't be held against him that, you know, hey, I already played the game once before and now I'm trying again and this is your first try.
Yeah, but I mean, as of right now, if he's against any of those 3 vets, I don't think it goes well for him.
He may not think that.
Not think that, but the other thing is him getting to the end seems like a pretty dicey, quite a parlay, I think, for that time.
Right. If he gets to the end at this point, you might have to give him the money, just like what happened in Big Brother 14. Big Brother 14, Frank gets to the end, he wins. So,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
All right. This question comes from @Cinefic B on Twitter. Can we please talk about Pauly and Zakiya? Is that showmance actually happening? Where are they at? Yeah, Brent, you want to just fill us in? What's up with Pauly and Zakiya? We heard, you know, you and Ian briefly were talking about how they're in this kind of weird spot right now. They're not quite a showmance, but they hang out a lot. So what's the deal with that?
Just what I said. They're not quite a showmance. They flirt a lot. I don't think they want to be seen as a showmance. I think both of them are aware of how much it could hurt their game, and they're in a very good position at this point. Nobody's talking about Zakiya. That's the other person, but besides Natalie, who I think is in great position. No one's coming for Zakiya. She's such a likable person. She knows how to put on a good face with everybody. Doesn't get into any fights with anybody. I'm curious to see if Zakiya has her Jordan Lloyd moment when she got mad at Shelly in Big Brother 13 when she just went off the rails. You know, if she can keep that face up for the entire stay of 99 days in the house, or, you know, is she going to lose it on somebody at some point and let her temper get the best of her? As far as Pauly goes, I think he's also aware of how much a showmance can hurt. So I don't think either one of these people are, A, wanting to be in a showmance, or what I say, B, I think I started with B. A, wanting to be in a showmance, or B, wanting to be seen as being in a showmance by other people, even if it's not reality.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I kind of really want this to happen, because I don't know, I think I mentioned this on one of the Happy Hours. Those two together would be the best-looking showmance of all time. Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Ooh, I don't know. Eric and Lisa has got to be way up there.
But yeah, that's true. I don't know, though. I think these guys beat it. I really do.
He was kind of short, though.
Possible. Was he?
I think Eric was kind of short, yeah.
Was that I don't know. Yeah, it's hard. Watching that when I was I haven't watched BB3 in quite a while, so I have to look at the tapes on that.
Oh, well.
Okay, this one comes from Justin Hassan at Justin the Cookie. Justin says, is Corey bisexual? I just hear and see him making comments about the guys looking good. Ian, what do you think?
I love how you go to Ian. Yeah, Ian, tell us.
Is this an actual question? I mean, I don't know if this is a serious question or not, but like this joke, I mean, it has gone on and on, and it just seems like he just keeps saying certain things on the feeds that could cause someone, like, just really make it easy for the joke to continue, right? Like, I know there was the whole, like, Corey, like, getting caught watching Frank shower twice by Paulie tweet that's been very popular. And also, like, last night he was talking about, like, his frat house or something being haunted. He's like, well, yeah, it's in the gayborhood in the city I live in. And people on, like, Reddit were like, you can't make this stuff up. Like...
And to be clear,
I think he's straight. I just, right.
If he is bi or if he is gay, that's fine. Totally cool.
Oh, of course, totally cool.
I know. I just want to make sure people know we're not making fun of him for that. Yeah. What I'm making fun of him for is the fact that he goes on about the fact that he's not that way, wants us to know that, and then proceeds to do all these other things. So that's the funny part to me. We're laughing at him sort of fighting against what he's saying.
Yes, I think, so, and just to be clear, Brent, thank you for that. Yeah, I think I would like Corey more if he was bisexual rather than just like, you know, kind of just douchey straight frat bro.
Plot twist, I'm telling you, right?
Right? Yeah. I think it would be kind of cool. I would like to, that would be kind of fun to see that at the end of the season. But I just think it's so hilarious that how adamant he is that he's not gay, even though... He says all this other stuff. This next question is from Logan Elliott at Logan_Elliott on Twitter. Logan says, how much longer will this BB roadkill twist last? Ian, what do you think about this?
I think it's going to go through the buyback period, and then it's gone.
Brent, what about you?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, I would like to say that, but I don't know. I mean, like, during Big Brother 16, we assumed that once the double eviction came and jury started that they would eliminate the Battle of the Block twist, and they didn't do it. They kept it going for, like, another 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, I would like to say that it's going to end. It's so funny because at this point, that's our only real hope for any shenanigans in the house is the roadkill and whoever the roadkill person is, if they nominate someone secretly or not. The teams are the bigger issue at this point. The teams and the roadkill, I hope both of those go away at the same time.
I would say that the teams being done at the end of the battle back period is, that's almost 100% in my mind. I would say for certain.
But I hope it's both of them. But
the roadkill maybe could go. I think the roadkill at most goes 6 weeks like MVP did. Because it's the same exact mechanic, right?
Right.
It's essentially, yes. The difference being that Alyssa doesn't win every single week.
Right.
Okay, this question is one that I find interesting. And Ian, perhaps you'll know the answer. This one comes from Binky Productions, at Binky Prod on Twitter. She says, hi, Jordan, Ian, and Brent. Is this the first time in BB history that in the first three boots, no girl is evicted? And I'm trying to run through the scenarios in my head.
I think we all are. Yeah,
right? I can't think of a time where there was three guys out first right off the bat. I mean, in three, no. In two, no. Four, no.
Great podcasting, Jordan.
Five,
amazing.
No.
Amazing.
Six, no.
I don't think so.
I think 10 came close, right?
Yep, 10.
Yeah, but Angie was third out.
We're
going to say no unless somebody can prove otherwise.
Somebody, so Rob's fact checker, if you want to check that and tweet me and let me know.
Wait, 15. Big Brother 15. Yeah.
15. We had David.
David, Nick, and who was third?
Jeremy.
Jeremy! Oh, my God!
There we go! This is why we have Ian Terry on the podcast. There we go. So not the first time, but one of the only times in Big Brother history. So that is it'll be interesting to see how that affects the season.
Yeah, and we'll see. Maybe if Bridget doesn't be the puppet, you know, maybe we'll see another one go.
Right? I think that would be intriguing if that happens there. Okay, looking here. I'm just looking at Twitter. We're not, you know, questions, I think we're good there. YouTube, I got a few more, but I want to save some for the very end. So I think now is the time that we will get into the spoilers. So thank you to everybody for sticking around. If you do not want to know any spoilers, now is the time to bounce out. But I say this every time, just stick around because realistically
there's not really much to spoil.
There's nothing really to spoil, and I don't even know if Brent's got anything to tell us, but I'm going to hit the spoiler buzzer now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Let's jump into it, Brent. Is there any spoilers of note? Is there anything going on? What's been happening in the House? What's the reaction?
I have been so busy doing this podcast that I actually haven't really been looking, so I'm not looking at the spoilers. Apparently, some of the girls feel very unsafe with Bridget as the HOH, and Frank is comforting them, like Zakiya and Devon both do not feel comfortable with the Bridget HOH. Frank is saying, don't worry. It's so funny because, you know, both of those people are anti-Frank, but yet now they're having to go to him saying, you know, please be the king figure that I need to make sure that Bridget doesn't come after me. And he's saying, you know, don't worry, I'm going to get her to put up Bronte and Tiff and or Tiffany if I can. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, and the only thing that I saw was apparently Polly and Michelle in the storage room saying, this is the worst possible thing that can happen, and they're safe. That's how bad this is.
Right. I hear Polly saying on the feeds to Zakiya and Nicole, we get through this week with no casualties, at least R5, and then figure it out and send Frank home. So, you know, this, I have to say this. You guys were talking last night on about the vets and their bad play, that they just can't help themselves. They're making the same mistakes. Something like this could be what Devon and some of these other people need to right the ship and continue to pick off the other side of the house. It might be the hand, or the thing that stays their hand, so to speak, you know, that prevents them from doing what could ultimately totally destroy their game. If they can get through this week, get another person out of the house who's not on their side, and move forward, and then get Frank out next week. Now, of course, if they get him out next week, he would only have to win one battle back competition or get back in the game, but they don't know that. So from their point of view, this could help them in that it prevents them from destroying their own games.
I hear you there, but at the same time, I feel like I said earlier, it's just going to keep building the tension between everyone in the APAC, and I just think next week is going to be complete and utter pandemonium, and it's going to be amazing. I
think we all know who the real winner from this this big Bridget HOH is, and that's Victor. Like, let's be real, because the less chance of Frank coming back for that battle back, the better off he is.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great point, Ian. I don't think anybody's brought that up. I haven't seen that anywhere in social media or anything tonight, so kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you.
Let's jump into a question that I wanted to save for towards the end of the show, because we are going to wind things down now, and I'm starting to lose it. Oh, no, this isn't good. My questions are – oh, here we go. Here it is. This one is from the franchise. The franchise says, can Jordan and Ian please plead their case for Michelle? So here we go. So for those of the uninitiated, Michelle last week – said on the feeds that she loves Ian, went on, she was talking to Nicole in the backyard about how much she loves Ian and how cool and awesome he is and how great he is, and that she has a huge crush on him, and Nicole said that she should totally go for him and all this other great stuff. But then Nicole said, oh, do you like any other guys?
And she did bring up Jordan, yeah.
Yeah, and she was like, yeah, I like this guy from Canada, Jordan. So Ian and I have gotten a lot of people tweeting us on Twitter saying, so how are we going to settle this? So, Ian, the floor is yours, my friend. I'll let you plead your case as to why Michelle should choose you over I.
Well, I mean, first off, I did win my – no, I'm kidding.
I think it's over. It's over, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm kidding.
Harry has won this
one. I'm kidding. You know, obviously, I think we're going to take this just one day at a time. We're still, like 72 days off from the end of the season, so we'll see how it plays out, I think, on that front. I am probably going to go to the finale this year because I actually know some of the contestants, so I guess that is one thing that...
Well, give us the tea, Ian. Who do you know? Like, besides the four vets? Or is that all you know?
That's what he means.
Okay. I thought he knew, like Corey or one of these.
No. But I've always wanted to go to the ones, but I actually feel like since I do know, like, Frank, and I'm good friends with Nicole, like, this seems like one that I'd go to and actually join the festivities. So I think that'll be cool. You know, I think she'd be cool to date. The last, like, few Tinder dates I've been on have been really duddy, so hopefully, you know... Hopefully, this will be better.
Hopefully, this will be better, Ian. I'm crossing my fingers for you, man. I'm not gonna make a case. Ian just sold us. Me, he won by saying I won my season. So I think it's game over, ladies and gentlemen.
I was done right there. I was done.
I mean, all Michelle would have to do is take a look at each of our bank accounts.
Oh no.
And also, I live in a closet. I'm in right now. If you're on YouTube watching this,
if she was taking a look at bank accounts, she should come to me.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah, Brent's really got the hookups.
Right.
But
she's a sweet girl. I have to say.
Yeah.
She said some like sort of like not so great stuff about me like. On
Reddit.
Summer Sucks beforehand.
Yeah. No, Reddit. It was Reddit, wasn't it?
It was Reddit. Yeah. Sorry, like she's a Survivor Sucks girl anyway, so she's been on both. But like watching her in the house, like I love Misa Michelle. So I hope she goes on and wins the whole damn thing. It'd be great.
Yeah. She seems really cool.
She's hot.
She's very cute. I got this like really weird email like. Today it was basically like a laundry list of why I shouldn't date her, and I was like, I just deleted it immediately. But it was really strange.
Good move, Ian. Good move. Yeah. Don't keep believe it. Keep riding high on this. I think this could go to magical places. I'm shipping it. I don't know what the showman's name is just yet. Michelle-ian.
I think it's Michigan. Like it's just Michigan without the G.
Okay, there you go. I like that. So Michigan without the G. So anyway, that's just for people wanting to know that. I also, Ian, wanted to talk about, Brent, I think you were included on this tweet with me, and we were talking about this in the pre-show. Ian, I don't know if we were talking about the same tweet, but did you guys see Michelle's fake boyfriend, that story?
Yes.
So, Brent, can you please explain
what it was? I just saw it. Like, I don't really know what happened. She was telling a story about her fake boyfriend, but, like, somebody sent me the clip, and then I didn't read it, and I didn't know you were going to ask me about it, so I didn't look at it.
Ian,
so tell me what happened.
Yeah, Ian, I watched the clip at work today. Did you watch the clip?
I actually saw it live when it was first explained.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. So they're, like, telling, like, what's the weirdest thing you've ever done type stories, and she's like, well, one time my roommate had a boyfriend in college, and I got, like, jealous of her because, like, she was getting all this attention from this guy, so I went on to Tumblr, found a picture of some random guy, photoshopped a bunch of pictures of us together, and, like, made myself in a relationship with this fake Facebook account named, like, Brody Schiller, and, like, I looked at, like, some of the photoshops. Well done. I mean, these are, like, excellent. You would not know that they were fake. And, like, she said, like, I went to Target. Like, I got, like, a box of chocolates, took a picture of myself with the chocolates because I didn't have the money to actually buy them for myself. You know, like, best boyfriend ever, things like that. Told her sister, like, we're going to get to go swimming in Brody's pool this summer. It's going to be great. And then... yeah, I mean, really, like, really well-executed prank.
Oh, my gosh. I have to flash back to this.
Yeah, I was laughing like hell. And then, what was it there? Oh, so the guy whose picture she used, some internet sleuth found out who he was and told him the entire story. He, like, lives in England or something.
Yeah, I saw that part. That's the part
really,
I saw.
Really
he lives
funny.
In England. Yeah, and it was like, so, and he, like, tweeted, like, so this is the girl who made me into her fake boyfriend or something like that. And people are telling him on Twitter, hey, you're hot. At least she picked you.
Ian, where can we find these photoshops? Because I want to see these.
If you go to that, I think the way I found about the guy finding out was through Reddit. I went on Reddit. I saw like a link. And then like Reddit. That guy's Twitter is like, well, here's the original photo, and then here's the Photoshop next to it. And I was like, this is incredible. Like, I was absolutely amazed.
Oh man, that's. That's awesome. The more I learn about Michelle, I know you, Ian's getting these emails saying why he shouldn't date Michelle, but the more I learn, the more I like. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
That's the kind of thing where I'm just like, that is actually really attractive. I find that really funny.
It's super funny. And then the other thing, and I don't know if you guys also saw this was also on Reddit, was that Michelle filmed herself doing all of the intros to BB16, like wearing the outfits and everything. And I think she put it on Tumblr. Ian, did you see those?
Yeah, I didn't watch the video, but I heard about it, and I heard it was really good.
Just super funny. So check that out on Reddit, on the Big Brother subreddit if you haven't already. Lots of really funny stuff from Michelle. I wish she would have done it from last season, though, because her doing the Jeff Weldon, like that would have just been so great.
Just kind of like passive hand wave thing. Like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, well, I think that's going to do it for the podcast, and I'll leave it out on this last question, guys. This one's from Jenna McDaniels. Jenna says, guys, who should Bridget target this week? So ignoring, you know, what Frank is saying and all this stuff, best move for Bridget's game. She can't go after Michelle. What should Bridget do, Ian?
Ooh, see, I never think about it in this position. I never thought of it from her position. I guess.
Okay, well, I'll let you think. Yeah. Brent, what about you? Who should Bridget target?
I think she should target Paul. I think Paul represents a bit of a threat to her. I think he's a guy who is slipping back into the background, who's friends with other people. I think she needs to, you know, keep the pedal to the metal and say, you know, this guy voted on the wrong side of the house, and you know, let's continue to target him. So, here's the thing: if Paul remains in the game, Paul is somebody that can move people. Paul is somebody that can fire people up and get them to come to his side. And I don't think if you're someone like Bridget, who if you're attached with someone like Frank, you don't really want that. My take on it.
Right. Ian, what do you think about that?
See, the way I was leaning was Paul, but I guess that's just because the best option is off the table, you know? It's like, that's kind of where it's at, right? I mean, the other thing you could say is, I don't think that getting rid of Bronte is a good move for her at all, you know? But
And I don't think getting rid of Tiffany is a good move for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you as well, Brent. I don't think getting rid of Tiffany is good. I don't think getting rid of Bronte is good.
It should be a guy. It should be a guy.
She should nominate three guys.
Yeah, and the only way to not piss off Frank and not really piss off anyone at this point, I think, for Bridget is to go after Paul, which is unfortunate for us. So I guess we got to cross our fingers that...
Well, she could still go after other people in the 8-pack because she doesn't know about the 8-pack and Frank hasn't told her about the 8-pack. So why would she feel like, oh, I can't go after Corey, you know, or I can't go after James?
But
you know
Frank
what I mean?
Like, will... I think Frank, like we talked about earlier in the episode on this podcast, I think
I
Frank...
Understand.
Right?
But she can at least float it as a possibility. Sure. Like, well, why can't I nominate these people? You know, is there a reason why? You know, and he might have to tell her about the alliance. He's already told everyone else.
What about Mama Day? Is there any chance that Frank gets wind that Dave Vaughn was talking crap about him and wants to take him out? Is there any – because I feel like that could be a really interesting week as well if somehow it gets back to Frank and then he tells Bridget to go after Dave Vaughn. That would be really chaotic. Ian, any chance you think that happens?
I mean, that would be really interesting, but I don't see it happening. I mean, as of last night, Frank seemed so thoroughly snowed, like just sitting there saying, like, I have such a great feeling about the girls that we have. Like, I mean, Dave Vaughn is rock solid, and I'm just sitting there like,
yeah. Yeah, so, and I think earlier Bridget was saying to Davon that, you know, I really want a girl to win. I'm rooting for you. You know, I think she even said to her earlier yesterday. She said, I'm rooting for you. So I don't think that there's any way she goes after Davon. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the thing: if you're gonna take a shot at Davon, that means you're taking a shot at somebody who's going after Frank. And if you're gonna take a shot at somebody going after Frank, you should go after Tiffany instead. You might as well just, you know, pull the bullet on the person who you know 100%. president wants you out because Frank doesn't know all these other people want him out. It's the same thing like Alex was talking about in Big Brother 14 where Frank, you know, didn't pull the trigger on Dan and he paid for it. So, you know, why not? You don't want to announce to the rest of the house, I want this person out. Oh, but let's not go after them. Let's wait another week.
Just
give
them
time to come after you.
It's like once you pull out the gun, you have to shoot because you're a marked man anyway.
Yeah. Thank you.
And with that, we're going to wrap things up on this edition of Rob Has a Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for joining us live. This has been a lot of fun. Brent, Ian, and I have never all been together on a podcast before, but I think this was a fun little trio that we had going. So thank you, Brent. Thank you, Ian, for joining me. This was awesome. And looking forward to this week. I think this is going to be, you know, I was not happy going into this episode, but you know, now just talking through it, you guys have been, you know, therapeutic for me. This conversation's been good. I'm hoping, you know, we can see something at least interesting this week and we don't stay stagnant with how things have been going. Ian, any final thoughts before we wrap up tonight?
No, I don't have anything else. I'm looking forward to watching the feeds as usual. I think the feeds have been really interesting this year.
All right, Brent, anything from you? And before you go on that, if you guys in the chat room could give us some ideas on hashtags, that would be great.
Cool. I have no idea for a hashtag. It's looking like I'm coming to RapCon this week. I'm still kind of waiting on – I have a trip to Vegas that I'm trying to plan, so that might get in the way. But if I see you guys at RapCon, please come up and say hi, and hope that's it.
All right, there we go.
Hashtag. How about Michigan with no G?
Michigan with no G. Okay, I was going to say hashtag Ian's puppet because I thought that was the best part of this entire podcast. Okay.
That was the best part, yeah.
I like that too.
No, yeah. Somebody said Brent's rant. I'm like, please, that wasn't really a good rant on tonight.
We could – that. I feel like hashtag Brent's rants is the Rupert tweets of hashtags. Like,
yeah, you go to that one when you're looking for something.
when you're like, okay, I'm putting this – I'm going to preload the hashtag before we start. Let's go hashtag. Hashtag Ian's puppet as Ian is holding his puppet up. Ian, does that puppet have a name?
Yeah, so I annoy students with this at school, so its name is Isaac. After Isaac.
Okay, yeah. So hashtag Ian's
puppet. You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, there you go. So hashtag Ian's puppet is what we're going with tonight. Thanks, everybody, for joining us these past two nights on RHAP. You've had a lot of fun filling in for Rob. He'll be back on Sunday after returning from Chicago and the podcast moving conference and RapCon. If you liked this podcast and you want some additional Big Brother coverage, don't forget to join us live every Monday night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, as Brent Wagemut, Taryn Armstrong, and Alex Kidwell, and I almost forgot to include myself, we all talk about what's been going down on the live feed. So it's a spoiler-only show. We only talk about spoilers and that kind of stuff. So if that's what you're into and you haven't been checking that out, join us next week. Check it out. I think you might like it. Last week we had a really fun show. We talked about my job as an ice cream delivery boy, which I thought that Alex was accusing me of having that job, but it's a long story. So check it out if you haven't already. Go to robisawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Can't wait to read your comments on robisawebsite.com and can't wait to get your tweets. Don't forget to follow us. Ian is at Tulane Terry. Brent's at One Lucky Yay. And I'm at Jordan Parhar. Thank you so much for joining us. For Brent and Ian, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Ian's Puppet. Talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out.